Some people still push toxic pesticides and synthetic fertilizers, things they learned 30 years ago. Well, Howard Garrett will talk about things he learned 30 years ago, but also things he learned last year and yesterday. So here he is, your host, the natural organic scientist, the Dirt Doctor.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show to be with me and chat about gardening or landscaping or pest control or environmental issues or how bad synthetic fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides are or anything else. Give me a call at 866-444-3478. We have an interesting approach to organic gardening, farming, ranching, and life in general, healthy living, and that is we believe it's not just to be green and to be, you know, a good person and to be environmental. All that stuff comes along for the ride, but the main thing is it works better. Works better in every way. There are critics out there that try to say all kind of goofy things like there's not any research data. There's tons of it. We've got a lot of it on our website. Nonprofit, not-for-profit corporation, Texas Organic Research Center. That's one of the missions there is to collect the research data from others and put it together on the website. And we also do research and experimentation ourselves. And the other thing that a lot of criticism comes to organics from people who say there's no research. No good labeling. Well, the research is definitely there. There's tons of it. For example, on mycorrhizal fungus, which is one of the main things that I recommend to build soil health, those products that are out there and that industry alone by itself has somewhere between 70 and 80,000 papers, research papers and documents about how mycorrhizal fungus works. And all about it. And one of the people that's involved in it is my co-author, one of my co-authors on the organic management for the professional book. Dr. Michael Amaranthus is in Oregon, and he's done 7,500 papers himself on the benefits of life in the soil and specifically mycorrhizal fungus. And it's not just that subject. It's any subject that we deal with. There's tons and tons of research data, and there's also properly labeled products in every category that I talk about. Do we occasionally recommend some homemade things? Yeah, we sure do, and some people that are in the business use some of their own mixtures and things, but for projects where it's you know, it's part of the deal because it's a government project or whatever it is, and you have to use properly labeled products. Everything we talk about here, every category has something in that that's labeled that way if you need to go that route. And I do a little bit of both, to be honest with you. Let me see what else. And the other thing is this hour is brought to you by Crazy Water. Crazy Water is the mineral water from Mineral Wells, Texas. I'm very fired up about this stuff. I love drinking it myself. And I had a very nice interview yesterday with the AP service. They're doing a story about Crazy Water that you're going to be seeing pretty soon and how it relates to my whole natural organic recommendations and everything. And it's a very important part of it. I think that clean, healthy water that's full of proper trace minerals is a great, important piece of this healthy living thing that we recommend here. So if you haven't tried Crazy Water yet, please do. It's in more and more stores all the time. I think they just got it into some HEBs and some of the bigger places. But if you look online, drinkcrazywater.com, you'll be able to find places where it does exist. And it also gives you a little hint there about how you can help get it in the store near you. Back to the phones, 866-444-3478. Richard is holding from the last hour in Minnesota. What can we do for you, Richard?
Morning, Howard. We just went through Dallas there. These folks that are worried about contaminated manure, I guess if I was to move down here and had to start from scratch, I'd go to one of these sustainable beef operations, order half a piece for whatever, and while I was there, I'd discuss it with them. You know, if a guy could roll in there with a half-ton pickup, a couple of 55-gallon drums, and see if they'd allowed you to fork some of them or not.
Let me tell you the problem with that, Richard. That's good thinking on the one hand, and on the other hand, there's a problem with it. And the problem with it is if you've got a producer, whether it's poultry or cattle or goats or sheep or whatever it is, if they're doing an organic program,
okay,
they ain't going to let the manure leave their property.
No.
They're too smart for that.
The man that I do business with up home there, we get our beef and milk from very quietly, of course.
Yeah.
He has a interesting way of looking at it. He said, well, what little you're going to take is they're making more right now while we're talking.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, if you can get some, and I guess there'd be some exceptions.
Point.
Yeah, but the organic person realizes the value of everything, you know, being recycled right back down into the soil on their property. But that's a good point.
It took me a minute to develop a good rapport with this guy, and we're very blessed by doing business with him.
Oh,
love
good.
Your show, Howard.
That's great. Thank you, Richard.
You
call us again. It's Margaret in Centerville. Next up. Hello, Margaret.
Hello. I want to know how best to deal with clover. I have arrow leaf clover, which is like 1.5 to 2 feet tall, which obviously I know the people plant it in cattle pastures for the positive benefits.
Right.
And so I have it from before I came here that obviously has been planted, and it goes to seed every year. And now I have one pasture that is most totally arrow leaf clover, and then it travels to other places. And I know it provides nitrogen, which is a positive thing, and I would like to have the benefit of that, but I don't know if it is where the nitrogen comes from the roots, and also know if I don't leave it until it blooms and goes to seed, then I won't have it next year. However, there's so much of it, and it shades the ground, and then the grass can't come out until the clover is gone. So which way? I have horses, and, you know, I know cows apparently eat it. The horses do not, and they're not supposed to.
It can be dangerous even for horses, I understand, too.
So it's like, which way do I go?
Yeah.
And it's in the yard, too, now. Someone cut the tops off in the yard yesterday. But
how many acres are we talking about?
I have 40 acres. It's not all over everything, but it is abundant. The conditions were right a couple of years ago, and it just started coming out, and every year there's more of it in different places. And I considered even, you know, taking the seed or the part and put it in some places that are bare soil, but I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know whether to discourage it or because of the nitrogen thing. How much benefit is that as far as leaving it alone?
Well, it's definitely a benefit. And the nitrogen happens in the roots. There's nodules on the roots of legumes that fix nitrogen, and that's where that all goes on.
So if it's after it's there, if it's mowed, that will still be come about?
Yeah, it creates it builds nitrogen on the root system that would stay in the soil. Moving it to a new area, you'd let it go to flower, and while it's in flower, mow it and move it to the new location, and that'd do two things. One is it's going to stress the plant and give the grass more of a chance to come back in that area. Clover doesn't like to be mowed as much as grass does or grazed as much, and you can burn it out by just, you know, a little bit more fertilizer there and kind of overdo the fertility. That would tend to be negative for it and help the grass. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing.
So the fertilizer would discourage the clover.
Yeah, it'd be more beneficial to the grass than the clover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just concentrate it in those areas where you've got too much of it. The other thing, like I was mentioning to somebody earlier in the show, and I think they may have thought when I first said it I was kidding, but I wasn't, and that's to use flame. These torches that are available as herbicide, as weed control tools, you know, you can burn up clover, and it doesn't respond back from that very well at all. There is a commercial product that will kill clover, and this, I'm saying this because it's better, it's going to be more useful for homeowners and lawns than for you possibly, but you need to know about it. There may be some way you could make your own, you know, I was talking about in some cases make your own brews, and this might be the case. There's a commercial product called Garden Weasel Crabgrass Control.
Right.
And it will kill the clover and not kill the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, can you hold on? I'll talk to you about it in a minute. Howard Garrett, be back right after this. There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you by now. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. The absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time are all important. Some of the Munster products have no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy cats and dogs. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area for your dogs and cats.
Tired of poor-performing crops, gardens, or lawns? Texas Plant and Soil Lab offers you the most accurate and thorough soil nutrition test in the industry. Our special method is accurate for every soil type and in all areas of the country. The quality of the water you use for irrigation is also critical to the health of your soil and plants. We can provide you with a complete analysis and corrective recommendations for your water. Go to AskThePlant.com today to see useful information and a full description of our services. That's AskThePlant.com or call 956-383-0739. BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at biositechnology.com. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
One of the most important organic product manufacturers in Texas is the Medina Corporation down in Hondo, Texas. The company's been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products longer than anyone in the business. Modena has quality fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulas. Modena products work by stimulating the soil biology to help all plants. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Modena has the products that help you spend your budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right at the same time. They have a brand new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food, which is great. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Modena and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Remember to ask for Modena. The website's MedinaAg.com, and you'll find the Modena label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell quality organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. Margaret and I were talking about clover and pastures, and I was talking about a commercial product that's used in lawns that will knock it out. And it might be something for you to think about, Margaret, a little bit.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. In looking at what you said about the nitrogen being in the roots already, it's mm-hmm. already there after it's grown. If it is mowed before, even before it blooms and goes to seed, and then dried molasses is put out, that would allow the grass to take over, and the clover would already have provided the nitrogen?
Yeah, I think any kind of disturbance you do to it is going to hurt the clover and benefit the grass.
Okay.
So any of these techniques we've been talking about, but this product I wanted everybody to hear is basically potassium bicarbonate.
The garden weasel?
Garden weasel crabgrass control. It's primarily potassium bicarbonate with a little cinnamon added to it, believe it or not. It's listed as the active ingredient. Mm-hmm. And then I think it has some turmeric in it. And one of the listeners a year or so ago made his own version and called and talked about the formula that he used. And I whipped it up and used it at home, and it worked. The commercial one worked a little bit better for me, so they probably got some little secret recipe or something that, mm-hmm. that I didn't follow. But it might be interesting for you to try it on at least a spotty basis, you know, here and there, and just
well,
see if
or
it,
are in the yard.
Yeah, and see how it worked for you from there. Keeping it to spread. Yeah,
but then on the mowing of the pasture, it would seem that mowing the tops of it that would go back into the soil, the leaves and all.
Yeah,
left there.
You bet. And
isn't that correct?
It would prefer not to be mowed, so you're going to benefit, again, the grass and hurt the clover a little bit. It won't knock it out, but this potassium bicarbonate and cinnamon product will, whether you make it yourself or try the commercial product, it will kill the clover and not the grass. It's selective.
Okay. Well, depending upon where
yeah.
it could be used. Okay.
That gives you several things to try.
Yes, and knowledge to look at what to do about where it is.
Okay.
Okay, the other thing is a totally different thing about pine trees. My place is named Pinewood Farm, so needless to say, there were a lot of pine trees. They are going not one by one, and it's the largest pine trees, the ones that are at the top of the skyline, big, big pine trees. Have already died. I first thought it was the drought, and that has been going on. But now I'm wondering if it it might be pine bark beetle, and if so, I don't think anything can be done about it, but are they going to just keep on until all the pine trees are gone?
Well,
and there's more than one variety of pine, and I noticed it, whichever is the one that grows the tallest and the biggest, those are the ones that have died.
Well, what it is what you suggested. It's the drought. And the drought sets up a stress condition in the tree, and then pine bark beetles and other things can come in. So, yeah, you can correct it. You can correct it by putting out lava sand at a real high level on the soil. There's nothing that will hold the soil moisture better, longer, at appropriate level than lava sand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty economical, too. You can buy it in large quantities and put it out. Compost or shredded mulches, you may have some pine needles as mulch, but making the mulch even greater. Anything you can do to hold the moisture in the soil better. It's probably pretty sandy soil there.
It's sandy with clay base.
Right.
Yeah.
So it dries out fairly quickly. So the key is to counteract the damage that the drought's doing. And the thing that'll do that is lava sand or other volcanic sands, mulches, compost, you know, the organic products as much as you can afford to do it on the, you know, the biggest and most important trees.
Mm-hmm. Well, the beetles, what do you know about those? Do they just move from
Well,
one?
They attack trees that are in stress. Where they're the biggest problem is they'll attack native trees, but they attack the planted trees, the maintained trees with synthetic fertilizers and everything more than they do the natives. But the drought, it can affect the natives or the managed trees, either one. But you're dealing with drought, the dryness of the soil. We've had droughts that got dried deeper in the soil than ever before, and that's the culprit.
Yes, because this is not just my place. This is all over East Texas. It's
Colorado and here and all through the South and everything. You can kill the beetles with spinosad products and orange oil products and this and that and the other organic products.
But this is like 48. I mean,
yeah,
this is a lot of pine trees.
The key is try to figure out how to hold the moisture in the soil longer. Let me go
okay.
help some other people, Margaret, but I think that'll get you going.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. It's Andrea's turn in Dallas. Hello, Andrea.
Good morning, Howard. I have a question about garbanzo beans or chickpeas.
Yep.
I have a chef wanting me to grow them for him. And I've done a little bit of research on them, and it looks like to me we can grow them in our soil. They seem to take a really long time, like 100 days. My question to you was, have you grown them, and what success have you had? And the other thing is, do you know a good source for me to get some seed?
The answer to your question is, yep, I have, and it was fun, and I was a little bit surprised how well they did. I think I got my seed from Baker Creek seed catalog, but I'm not positive about that. I think that's where I got them. I planted them about now. I planted them late winter, early spring. It's a little tricky in that it likes cooler weather, so getting them going maybe next year in a greenhouse situation so you can set out some plants by now.
Okay.
Might be a better way to go.
Uh-huh.
And they do take a long time to mature, but they're edible before they completely mature. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Republicans are praising President Obama for having dinner with them last night, and the lawmakers say that the fresh engagement between the White House and Congress could finally yield solutions to stubborn budget battles that could cost American jobs eventually. The U.S. government and the Afghan Taliban, are they working together? That is the suggestion, incredible as it may seem, being made by Afghan President Hamid Karzai. He says the Taliban and the U.S. are colluding to make Afghans believe foreign troops need to stay in the country. A spokesman for South Africa's president says former President Nelson Mandela has been discharged from the hospital today and gone home to his house in Johannesburg. And authorities in Rome are making plans for the security that will be needed in the days ahead. Cardinals gathering at the Vatican to select a new Pope, and when their selection is installed a few days later, white smoke will come out of a chimney atop the Sistine Chapel. This is SRN News.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Weight gain, hot flashes, rapid heartbeat, night sweats? How about fatigue, nausea, low energy? Or what about sleeplessness, low libido, and fat storage, especially around the belly area? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. And until you balance your hormones, it'll be practically impossible to get rid of these problems. But you're in luck because Ambrin is the all-natural formula clinically shown to cause sustained weight loss in women over 40 with no big change in lifestyle. Ambrin restores hormonal imbalance in women over 40, so the extra pounds fall away and the other symptoms simply disappear. To receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a free 30-day supply, just be one of the first 50 callers right now at 1-800-280-1656. Free supplies are limited, so be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-280-1656. That's 1-800-280-1656.
With Esrin Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Betting for a top seed in the NCAA's number one Gonzaga defeated Loyola Marymount 66-48 in the semis of the West Coast Conference Tournament. The Bulldogs advanced to play for the league championship Monday night against St. Mary's, who beat San Diego 69-66 in overtime. Third-ranked Duke scored the game's first 14 points in doubting North Carolina 69-53. The Blue Devils finished second to Miami in the ACC. The sixth-ranked Hurricanes beat Clemson 62-49 to grab their first ACC crown. Baylor surprised Kansas 81-58 to keep the fourth-ranked Jayhawks from the outright Big 12 regular season title. Number 9 Kansas State could have wrapped up the Big 12 but lost to number 13 Oklahoma State 76-70 in Stillwater. The Wildcats and Jayhawks end up tied for the conference title. Kansas State coach Bruce Weber.
Give credit to the Cowboys. They made enough plays, and I don't know if we got tired or tentative or what, but you know, we had opportunities and just didn't take advantage of it.
K-State winds up sharing their first regular season conference title since 1977. This is Esrin Sports. Georgetown, Marquette, and Louisville share the Big East regular season title. Fifth-ranked Georgetown crushed Syracuse 61-39. Hoyas coach John Thompson III was asked about the conference undergoing massive changes next season, including Syracuse heading to the ACC.
It's special because, you know, the Big East, as we have known it, is ending. And Georgetown won the first one, and then Georgetown's won the last.
Louisville beat Notre Dame 73-57, while Marquette downed St. John 69-67. Defending national champ Kentucky revived its NCAA tournament prospects by upsetting number 11 Florida 61-57. Air Force surprised number 12 New Mexico 89-88. It was 16th ranked St. Louis 78, LaSalle 54. St. Louis clinches at least a share of the Atlantic 10. Number 18 Arizona beat Arizona State 73-58. It was Utah 72. Number 19 Oregon 62. 20th ranked Pittsburgh 81. DePaul 66. Number 23 UCLA 61. Washington 54. The Bruins clinch a share of the Pac-12 regular season crown. Number 25 Memphis beat UAB 86-71. With Esrin Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
If I turn my mic on now, everybody can hear me. telephone number is 866-444. I thought it sounded kind of funny. 866-444-3478. Talk to Andrea a little bit more about garbanzo beans off the air. About the only other thing that came up was she was asking about production and all that. Mine did pretty well. I think that it would be best if you want to grow them next year, start the beans inside in a greenhouse situation and get them going up 4-inch pots or maybe even larger before you set them out early in the spring. They like the cool weather. If you can get them to mature for you before it really gets hot, it's going to be kind of the key. But they will grow down here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So north of here where it's cooler, I think you'll have even better success with them. So give it a shot. 866-444-3478. Here's Chester in Balch Springs. Chester?
Yes, good morning, Howard.
How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Every once in a while. I was wondering about seaweed using it as a compost. Every June, down on the Texas coast, there's all this seaweed washes in, and I thought I'd get a pickup load full and but I was a little concerned. I know it's got a lot of trace minerals, but I was a little concerned about the amount of salt in it, about adding it to my compost pile.
I wouldn't worry about it, Chester. Myself, I would consider the amount of salt left on the seaweed to be a beneficial percentage. But if you want to take a garden hose and just wash it off, and you know a certain percentage of it, if you're worried about it, you could do that too. I think it's a good idea. I think it would make a good ingredient in the compost pile. It's not the same kind of seaweed that we're dealing with when we're, you know, adding the seaweed to the Garrett juice mixture. That comes from coal waters and a completely different kind of kelp. But the stuff that comes from the Gulf of Mexico and warm waters and everything, it would make terrific compost, you bet.
Well, I think I'll get me a couple of flat-bellied teenagers and go down there and get a pickup load this summer.
Yeah, it's just a matter, is it worth the time and the effort? And you ought to give it a try and let me know what you think.
We're down there anyway, and, you know, in June, because it's one of the first times the grandkids get summer vacation. And you know, I look at all of it, and they just pile it up, you know, and pile it up. And I thought, well, you know, it's got to be good compost, but I was a little concerned about salt, but you think it's okay?
Sea salt's pretty good fertilizer, really, and you'd have to get a pretty heavy concentration of it to be a problem. But like I said, you could do it both ways. You could wash it off with a hose, go that route, see how it works, and then do some of it where you hadn't even cleaned the salt out of it and see how it functions for you. Get a soil test at some point and see what the level of sodium is. Be very inexpensive to do, and then make a decision about what you do long term. But I'll bet you don't have to clean it off too much for it to be fine.
Okay, I appreciate your input.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
And we've got open lines. Give us a buzz. 866-444-3478. I don't think I've mentioned this hour that on Facebook – we've got some kind of interesting shots there, photographs. We've got two large trees in my backyard. They're the most interesting two trees because one of them is a live oak, and it was a live oak that was growing at about a 45-degree angle when we bought the house, and it was about a 3-inch caliper tree at that point, and it was growing at an angle like that because there was a huge black willow growing over the top of it. So it was growing out at an angle, you know, trying to get to the light and survive. And most people would have probably cut it down. I cut down the big black willow, and I left the live oak, started, you know, doing the organic amendments and fertilizer and everything, which happened about the same time in my life and my career, and started trimming it to grow back the other way with major limbs. Well, you can see it in the slides, in the shots, the photographs on Facebook. But the main thing we did on it, and also our ginkgo, which has had more stuff written about it than any tree that I have, because it was planted the year that Logan, my daughter and an announcer, was born in 1985. And it was planted as a 8-foot-tall tree from the nursery. Its caliper today, and it doesn't look like it in the photograph, is probably about 27 inches or something like that. The live oak is closer to 30 inches. Both of them are big trees. But we had more tree come over and do the trunk flare exposure to a level in excess of what I normally recommend. But now that I've done it and I've seen the results in both cases, I'm going to recommend more aggressive root flare exposure or trunk flare exposure. And I use both because the flare is actually, you know, part of the trunk. And that's probably a better term, but the industry has been calling it root flare for so long that I tend to still use that term too. Either one's fine. It's the flare at the base of the tree, but it is part of the trunk, and that's why we're exposing it. You'll see in the photographs, if you go to Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, you'll see that we've done very dramatic exposure. You can stand on the root system. It's been exposed so much. We uncovered a lot of utilities that now have to be rerouted a little bit because they used to be underground and they're not anymore. But it's going to be really interesting to see how much better those two trees, and they were already doing really well, grow this next growing season. But you can see them there. One other thing I just discovered is there's several Howard Garretts, apparently. One of them that is interesting that you that comes up if you do a search for me, do a search for Howard Garrett, there's a Howard Garrett that comes up that is an orca expert, the killer whales. And he's got some really interesting stuff. In fact, I'd like to meet him. I just haven't taken the time to try to make contact with him yet, but there's apparently some other fellows too. So do The Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett, The Dirt Doctor, and the right Facebook will come up. And we've got a lot of other interesting things on there and love to have you involved. Open line at 866-444-3478. On our website, dirtdoctor.com, a couple of things for you. You can join the membership area there, the Organic Club of America, and we'd love for you to join if you want to do that. The free newsletter, all you have to do is give us your email address where you want it sent. So send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com or fill out the form that's on the homepage there. And we do the newsletter weekly. It comes out a different day, it seems like, almost every week. We cover one subject at a time and get a lot of good response. There's about 110,000 people getting it now, so we're doing something right. And if you've got any subjects you want me to cover, we will certainly do that. What did we do the last time? Oh, we did the a question that came up on Facebook. Actually, people want to know how to soften hard-packed, hard-panned soil, and I gave all the possibilities of the overall program and using the hydrogen peroxide as the liquid way to flocculate and aerate the soil as part of the overall treatment as an option. 866-444-3478. Here's Gary in Dallas. Hey, Gary.
Hi. Howard?
Yes, sir.
Good morning. I've got a question about my sweet potatoes.
Okay.
There's something I need to put in. When I try to grow my sweet potatoes, all I get is long fingerlings. They're about the diameter of my thumb is the largest diameter, but they get long, you know, like 6 or 8 inches long.
Huh. Where are you getting the slips?
Well, some of them I buy. I've tried buying some organic sweet potatoes and getting slips from that. And
growing your own? Did you grow your own slips from some potatoes? Okay. That's the best way to go, really. That's why I was going to bring that up. You may have a little bit of a fertility issue, Gary. What are you fertilizing the plants?
Well, I've been using chicken manure and just home compost, home scrap compost with leaves and stuff like that.
Have you been organic for a while in that area? Soil?
I've been doing it for maybe 5 years, trying to grow organic.
Pretty sandy, or you clay there?
Well, the place where I've been trying to grow them is kind of a clay area.
Okay. Well, you may want to improve the soil to be a little bit more friable. You know, my granddad grew them for a living in Pittsburgh, Texas, and outside of Pittsburgh, and they grew the sweet potatoes in real sandy, sandy, sandy soil. So that'll help you some. If you add some kind of sand that would have an additional benefit, like the lava sand and green sand, those two things, add a whole lot of that into your soil. I think that, along with maybe a little Garrett juice drench, make your own or use a commercial one, either one, of course, I think you'll see them fatten up and do fine with what you've already started to do there.
Okay, I'll do that then. I'll put more sand in. I'm thinking maybe going to Red River and get some of that river sand.
Well, that'd be okay too. I guess there's a possibility that something would have happened there that, you know, contaminated it to a degree, but I doubt it, so it'd probably be fine to do it. Any kind of sand that would loosen the soil up, you're going to have to use, if you go that route, quite a bit of it probably, and make it into raised beds, which the sweet potatoes would like anyway.
Right. Yeah, years ago I went and harvested sweet potatoes for a farmer up in Callisburg, and boy, he had the big, beautiful sweet potatoes there.
Well, I think you will, too. I think you just need to kick up the fertility here just a little bit, and these sands will probably help you as well.
Okay. Well, I certainly do. Thank you.
I appreciate the call. Mm-hmm. And the open line is 866-444-3478. One little tip on sweet potatoes that you may not know about if you've not been an organic gardener for a while. Maybe some of you that are organic don't even know this as strongly as you should. The best part of a sweet potato is the skin. And after you put a bunch of good butter in the sweet potato, and don't put sugar and all that stuff the way people do sugar and marshmallows and all that. I don't like that. If it's an organically grown sweet potato, it's got enough flavor by itself, especially if you add the butter to it. But eat the inside of the potato and then keep the skin and then roll it up and then eat it like a enchilada or something, and that is the best flavor you've ever tasted. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs. If you are a grower, farmer, rancher, landscape contractor, or homeowner who expects excellent results, convenience, and to save money, then you need to visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Once again, naturalorganicwarehouse.com. The Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green, safe for your kids and pets. Proper fertilization can improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't damage your grass when hot, dry weather arrives. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you by now. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. The absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time are all important. Some of the Munster products have no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy cats and dogs. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area for your dogs and cats.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And we'll try to get everybody on here. If we don't get to you, hang on. I'll try to help you before I leave today. Pam is first up in Richardson. Hi, Pam. Doing well, thank you.
I just have a quick question about my drift roses. I planted two coral drifts last May and was told by my local nursery that I didn't need to prune those. So I did not prune those in February when I pruned all my other roses. But now I'm reading online that I should be pruning those.
I think you can go either way. I have drift roses also in an area that's probably too shady for them. I don't know how much longer they're going to last. But I didn't trim them. They stay pretty compact, as you know, pretty low, so I don't think they need a lot of trimming myself.
Okay, good. I just didn't know if it would help, you know, with the bloom performance, although they performed beautifully.
I don't think so. I don't think it's a big deal. You might try it on some of them and some of them not, but if you've already, like I told a caller earlier about roses, if the buds are already set, I'm kind of reluctant to tell people to trim at this point because you're going to miss some of the flowers.
Right. Okay. I'm organic and I have been for years and years. I would like to put, if this is a good idea, like a 1-inch layer of compost on all my flower beds.
Okay.
Is that a good idea?
It's a very good idea. It's it's nature's fertilizer. It's the best fertilizer you can have, especially if it's a well-made compost. The only thing that I would warn you about is if you do it more than once a year or every year, be careful even with just thin layers like that. Don't pile up material on the stems of plants.
Okay.
You know, leaving the flare on any kind of plant there is totally exposed and everything is an important thing. Yeah. Other than that, compost is a wonderful thing to use around all plants.
Just take up all the mulch. That's going to be the hard part.
Yeah, that makes it a decision about your time, really. If you've got mulch there already, did you use a shredded native mulch? Pam, what I'd do if I were you, I would just let them, I'd use the compost in new beds and pots and things like that and just let the shredded mulch break down into compost, which is what it's doing, rather than pulling the mulch back, putting some down, and putting the mulch back on top.
Is a pain, yeah.
Yeah, I'd leave
and
it alone.
Jared juice
that'll just go straight through. And that's what I've been using for 5 years. So.
Yeah, leave it alone. That's okay. A better system because the shredded material breaks down into compost. And so you've got that natural cross-section there going on that happens in the forest and on the prairie is exactly what you want.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pam.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Alvarado and talk to Dyke.
Good morning, Howard. I got two quick questions. One, I got a big pile of tree trimmings, and I want the best way to break them down as quick as possible. And then I've got a live oak tree that's the roots are girdling it on. I'm trying to expose the root flare, and I found some girdling roots.
Well, you can do the pruning yourself, or you can bring an arborist in, either one. You need to uncover those girdling roots and so you can see what's going on there. And you literally go into them and prune them off very, very carefully without damaging tissue, you know, that's going to be left, like you would be cutting off a limb. It's the same procedure. You just have to be more careful about it because the circling girdling roots are generally not only touching some tissue that you want to save, but is embedded in there a little bit. And so sometimes on a circling girdling root, what I'll do is take a chisel and cut one end and then the other end and just leave it there. And what happens is as that flare grows, it'll expand and it'll just pop that circling part away.
Okay.
You see what I mean? On the shredded tree trimmings, you can leave them in a pile, and they'll break down into the prettiest compost you've ever seen. Or you can use them in a sheet composting way, just like we were talking about with Pam. Leave them, you know, use it on the surface of the soil as a mulch, and they'll break down slowly into compost used that way. So either way you want
them. Will molasses or worms help any?
Molasses speed up the process. Earthworm castings will. Earthworms... I've always had the opinion that if the soil is good enough for the worms, they'll be there anyway. And if it's not good enough for the worms, they may not live. I don't have any problem with that, but earthworm castings might be a better way to go than the worms themselves.
All righty. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. And by the way, I haven't made a big enough point enough times today. Everybody needs to get the trichogramma wasps put out. Order a mail order or get them from local places. That helps you with all the caterpillars that will be coming on. And if you get them out now, you won't have caterpillar problems. They're a wonderful, very inexpensive, preemptive pest control, Trichogramma wasp. And you can look up the details on my website on dirtdoctor.com. The other thing is to get the beneficial nematodes out, control of fire ants, termites, grub worms, all sorts of pests that will be coming on here pretty soon. So it's time for both of them. Beneficial nematodes and Trichogramma wasps, how you put them out in dirtdoctor.com. If you want our newsletter, it's free. Send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com, and we'll see everybody next time. I've appreciated you being with me. And those of you that are holding, hang on. I'll help you before get away. In the meantime, enjoy. We've got some clear weather here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I hope your weather's okay. I know it's pretty snowy and rainy in a lot of places, but get your seed lined up if you're indoors and can't work outside. And enjoy your gardens. And, of course, don't forget to feed and water the birds. I'll see you next time.